Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
A special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, it's about 10 minutes after 11 p.m. here. This is program 166 in the series of the WGN Radio Theater, March 26th. It's a Sunday. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey,
how
Carl.
Are you? And program 166.
Can
We've
you believe
here,
it?
Yeah, almost 2 years.
We're nearing in on that two-year anniversary.
Yeah, and on this edition, it's Boston Blackie, Life with Luigi, and the Big Story. Before we tune into any of that, we will talk to Dan Jaffe, CEO of Oil Dry, parent company to Cat's Pride, along with Dave Weiske. He's the vice president of customer service for Cat's Pride. We'll talk to them, and we'll give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to one of our lucky listeners. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in the upcoming drama The Death of Stalin, which follows his last days and the chaos after his death.
What do they win?
This is exciting. It's a pair of tickets to the Tony Award-winning Disney musical Mary Poppins, playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago.
Very good. 312-981-7200 is our number. Here's a hint. He played Hank on The Larry Sanders Show.
Hey now!
That's all you get. 312-981-7200. Who is that actor? We'll find our winner after these words.
And we are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie, well, that clip one more time. It's not a movie clip.
It's a TV clip.
Yep.
Hey now.
That's all you get.
And that's it. And Shantae took a winner offline. Denise from Chicago knew that that was Jeffrey Tambor. Was that a difficult one?
I don't know.
Well, anyhow, congratulations, Denise, and she will win a pair of tickets to the Tony Award-winning musical Disney's Mary Poppins, playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago from March 29th through May 28th. Bring the whole family. It's a family show. Spend a jolly holiday with Mary Poppins. You can get tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com or call 773-325-1700. Congratulations to Denise.
All right, and we have Mike Costello, our executive producers here. What's up, Mike?
Hey. How's it going? I'm good.
And we have Shantae Garth in our booth. She's our producer. She's the best in the biz.
She is.
And we want to welcome Dan Jaffe and Dave Weiske back to the show. What's up, guys? How are you? Good to see you.
Hi, Carl. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, guys.
Lisa, Carl, how are you?
We're doing good. Let's talk a little bit about Cat's Pride and why people out there, folks, if you have a kitty cat and you're not using Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care, we're going to tell you some of the reasons why you should switch over to that brand. Dan?
It's truly the best cat litter out there. It controls odors extremely well, very low dust, and clumps really hard. And it's lightweight, meaning you fill by volume. You fill to about 3 inches in your tray. And ours, because we use lighter density minerals, will weigh half of what the competition's will. So if you have to lug home a 20-pound jug of theirs, you can take home a 10-pound jug of ours, and it'll fill the exact same number of litter boxes, give you the same uses. The extra benefit of that, and the reason why we put it in a green jug, is because we can get twice as many units than on a truckload, which cuts the carbon footprint in half. So it's really good for the environment.
It's a green product.
It's good for everybody.
Yeah, right, and
just
it's good for your back,
year,
too. It doesn't hurt your back.
In the last year, Carl, Lisa, we basically eliminated 1,000 truckloads off the road just of Cat's
fantastic.
Pride Ultimate Care and Cat's Pride Fresh and Light.
I was going to say, can you guys tell us about your great television campaign with Katherine Heigl and why you decided to partner with her? Because she is the perfect partner for Cat's Pride.
She is the perfect partner.
I know what I'm saying.
Pun intended. Yes, she has been an incredible partner. She has a foundation dedicated to eliminating the needless suffering of companion animals in honor of her brother who passed away when he was only 15 years old. It's the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation. So we've partnered with Catherine and her mother, Nancy, And you can see their foundation logo on our package of Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care. And every time a consumer buys a unit of our product, we make a donation to their foundation to help end the needless suffering of companion animals. So we're running commercials. We just finished a Live with Kelly sponsorship, which went very well. It led up for the 3 weeks leading up to the Oscars, and then it was even in the after Oscar show. And we are going to be in the process of filming all new commercials at some point. So we're going to have a whole new campaign coming up, but again, using Katherine Heigl. So we're very excited about that.
So I'm going to do my math here. And, you know, math was my one of my better subjects. I see four reasons. Well, actually five, because you're also a sponsor. And if you like this radio show, we'd love you to support our sponsor. But I'm thinking there's five reasons to switch to Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care. It's the best on the market. It's half the weight. And you get it's a green product, so you're saving all kinds of truckloads. And there's a donation that goes to help kitty cats and dogs all across the country. So four reasons there, plus they're our sponsor, right, Lisa?
Well, best on the market. Five. Best on the market was kind of hedging there, because all of those are the reasons why they are the best.
But
on
it's
the
best. But it clumps the best, and it has the least odor and all of that too. So,
but I'm going to give you even another reason. Okay. Is we are so excited about the product, and we really need to get what's known as trial. We need consumers to try it. So we're running really exciting promotions throughout the United States. So, for instance, the listeners here in Chicago, they can go to Jewel right now, and they're running the Monopoly program. So Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care is one of the products that is in that program. So I think you get a game card and everything when you buy it. But what we are also getting is a quarter pallet put in over 2,000 Albertsons stores. And Dave, what kind of discount?
We're talking $3 off on each jug purchase. So you talk about dedication not only to Katherine Heigl and that whole effort, but the consumer is going to get $3 off.
Now, how do they get that coupon? By playing Monopoly, or how does it work?
No, it's an IRC. It's instant redeemable coupon. It's right on our jug.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So if you buy it, then you buy another jug, it's $3 off.
No, you buy it, you get $3 off right
there. Come on.
Carl, you're making this
more confusing. Well, no, I'm glad we're detailing this for our listeners so they understand how it works.
Wait, there's more.
There's more. Talk to us about Publix.
Well, Publix, for our far reach of WGN and the great wattage that we're pumping 50,000 watts all the way down to Florida, we have a BOGO. It's buy one, get one free on Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care. So basically, you pick up one, pick up another, you only pay for one jug.
Right. Now, in the Chicagoland area and all around our listeners, where are all the places they can get it? I mean, I know it's Mariano's and Jewel. What are some of the other places you can get it?
We got one more big promotion going on with Walmart.
Mm.
Well, yes. Well, at Walmart, we've been on rollback now for at least 3 months now. We rolled back a full dollar, so we're $9.97. $9.77. Thank you for the 20 cents. I appreciate that. So basically, at your Walmart stores, you can go in there and really get a quality product in Cat's Pride Ultimate Care, which was $10.86, and we rolled it back to $9.77.
Make sure you look for the green jug. That's important, because you go into there's lots of kitty litter, and you want to get the best one with all of the great benefits. It's Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care, and it's in the green jug.
And just as a personal endorsement, I use that, and Mike uses that, and we wouldn't use it if it wasn't the best product.
I noticed the difference the moment I started using it.
I would use
actually.
It, but cats run away from me whenever I try.
We all run away from you. But we know it's the best one on the market, so we encourage you to give it a shot.
And for those who can't get out that want to order online,
you got to talk about.
We have Amazon, Chewy.com, we have Walmart.com, and Jet.com, which we're selling across all that band.
Absolutely. So you can get it everywhere.
And Dave uses our cat litter, and he doesn't even have a cat. So
we don't want to know about that.
All right, so here's a great thing. Not only are you our sponsor, which we very much appreciate, but you're also generous enough to give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care to one of our lucky listeners each and every month. So this is how it works. You send it a picture of you and your kitty cat. send it to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com. And we need your name and your kitty cat's name and your city and state. And we take all of those entries throughout the month, and we put them all in a it's like a leather bag or something, right?
It's my headphone bag.
It's his headphone bag. And then Dan reaches in, and we're going to do that right now, and pull out a lucky winner, give him a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. All
if
right?
we can get a drum roll.
All right, do we have a drum roll? We do have a drum roll. All right, and who is the lucky winner?
The lucky winner this month is Rachel Paquette and her cat, Binks, from Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Oh, ooh. All the way in Rhode Island.
That's good reach there.
So do we have applause? All right, we do. Listen to that. Sound effects are wonderful, aren't they? So make sure, folks, that you get in your picture. Because even if you sent it in this month, send it in again because we start all over again for May. So Dan and Dave will be back here at the end of May, and we'll give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Guys, appreciate your support of the show. Thank you so much. We really can't do it without you. We really appreciate that.
Hey,
thank
we
you guys.
We love the radio theater, and congratulations on your fantastic ratings.
Thank you. Yeah, we had
thank
some great news with the ratings. We're number one in Chicago, and we really appreciate all our listeners tuning us in for that. So thanks, guys. And it's time now for Boston Blackie. Boston Blackie is one of the greatest detective shows on radio. It was in the movies, it was on television. And on radio, Dick Calmar played Boston Blackie. Let's go back to September 24th, 1946, for the Abbott painting. Here's part one of Boston Blackie.
So the great Boston Blackie condescends to visit the lonely Henry Rice. Aren't you afraid your friends will look out and find out about this, Blackie?
I'll take my chances with my friends, Rice. But I'm not going to take a kicking around from you.
I'm kicking you around?
You know what you're doing. You're framing a murder on my friend Shorty.
Oh, terribly unfair of me, isn't it?
You know what it is. An out-and-out frame. The police are looking for evidence on the murder of that fellow Ashley. And you have phony evidence that makes it look as if Shorty killed him.
So I do. A cigarette lighter, I think, with Shorty's initials on it.
And Shorty's fingerprints on it, too. And it was found at the scene of Ashley's murder.
I know. I made sure it would be found there. I've got it, you know.
Yes, for now. But I'm getting it back. Shorty has a record. If the police connect him with Ashley's death, Shorty's as good as dead himself.
Yes, he will be, won't he? And it looks as if your friend Shorty will go to the chair for murder, and you, the great Boston Blackie, won't be able to do anything about it.
I might.
I doubt it. Unpleasant position you're in, Blackie, but very pleasant for me.
Look, I'll give you 10,000 for that lighter.
Not interested. Making you miserable is worth 10 times 10,000.
Then what will you take for the lighter?
Nothing. You see, I have everything, Blackie. Everything. Even you in a jam.
Look. You're an art collector, aren't you?
Yes, of a sort.
Of the sort who'd like the Abbott painting in his collection?
Well, now you're getting interesting. But the Abbott is not for sale, Blackie. It's in the city art gallery and under heavy guard.
I know. But if you promise to give me Shorty's lighter, I'll get that Abbott for you.
You will? How?
I'll steal it.
That's absolutely impossible.
You let me worry about that.
You can't do it, Blackie. You can't do it.
Can't I? It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon now. By 9 o'clock tonight, I'll have stolen that painting. Look in the left-hand top drawer of my bureau, will you, Mary? I think you'll find a razor blade with a handle.
All right.
Should be right in the front of the drawer. See it?
Yeah, I have it. Here.
Thanks.
Blackie, why are you collecting all this stuff?
I can't tell you, Mary.
Why not?
Because in the first place, you wouldn't like it, and in the place that ties for first, you wouldn't believe it.
Mm.
Now, let's see if I have everything in this bag.
Well, you have a razor blade with a handle, you have a knife, rubber gloves, and adhesive tape. That's everything you asked for so far.
Then I guess I have everything I need. Now, all I have to do is close the case. There. And be on my way. So long.
Blackie, what are you going to do? Is it something wrong?
Who, me? Do something wrong? Mary.
Yes, you do something wrong, Blackie.
Mary, you've hurt my feelings. All I'm going to do is get Shorty out of a jam.
With a knife? A razor blade, adhesive tape, and a pair of rubber gloves?
Yes.
What have they got to do with getting Shorty out of a jam?
A lot. And you're asking a lot of questions.
I'm not getting any answers. Oh, Blackie, please tell me where you're going. I'll worry myself sick.
Oh, all right. I'm going to the city art galleries.
With a knife?
And a razor blade, adhesive tape, and a pair of rubber gloves. I'm going to steal the Abbott painting.
You are going to do what?
Steal the Abbott painting and give it to Henry Rice.
Oh, Blackie, you're not.
But I am. And don't worry. As soon as he gives me Shorty's cigarette lighter, I'm going to see that the painting goes right back to the gallery.
Well, I should think so, but that's not what worries me. It's how you're going to steal it. There are steel doors and steel shutters on the windows of that gallery, and there are men with guns everywhere. Oh, darling, I don't know how you can possibly steal the Abbott.
Don't you, Mary? Well, don't feel too badly about it. Ask a million people, and they'll tell you it can't be done. But ask me, and I'll say it can.
Come in.
Inspector Faraday.
Yeah, Rollins?
Pick up your telephone. A little surprise waiting for you on the other end of the line.
Now, who is it? Little Red Riding Hood?
No, no.
Rollins, you've been around Blackie too much.
No kidding, Inspector Faraday. Somebody very interesting wants to talk to you.
Yeah?
And it's funny that you mentioned Blackie because he wants to talk to you about Blackie.
Yeah? Who is it?
Pick up your phone and see.
All right, I'll pick it up. But, Rollins, if this is your idea of a joke, I'll give you an idea of what it's like to be pounding a beat. Hello?
Hello, Inspector Faraday. This is Henry Rice.
Henry Rice?
Yes, you remember me, of course.
Remember you? Rice, if it takes me 100 years, I'm going
to... I'm so glad to see you remember me and still hold me in such high esteem.
Hold you in high esteem. I'll high esteem you. I'm going to hold you for murder.
My, how you love me. But I didn't call you to have you boost my ego. I thought perhaps you'd like to know something about your friend Boston Blackie.
I know all I want to know about him.
Oh, but you don't, Inspector, you don't. You've always wanted to send Blackie to the same iron-covered cottage you have for me, but you've never been able to prove anything against him.
I will someday.
Really? Well, Inspector, there, this is that day.
Yeah? What are you talking about?
Blackie and what he's going to do tonight. He's going to steal the Abbott painting from the city art gallery.
He's what?
You heard me, Faraday.
Yes, I heard you. But I don't believe you.
I'm not asking you to believe me. I just wanted you to know that the painting was to be stolen. And yet you couldn't keep Blackie from getting it. Have a pleasant night, Inspector.
Listen, Rice, I...
Now, wasn't that sort of a surprise, Inspector?
Oh, you still here, Rollins? Yeah, it was a big surprise. And guess what he wanted?
What?
To tell me Blackie is trying to steal the Abbott painting from the city art gallery tonight.
Trying to steal the Abbott?
Oh, no. Get that, Rollins. Rice thinks I'm dumb enough to fall for that.
Yeah, you'd have to be dumb to fall for it. Not even Blackie could break into the city gallery, much less break out of it with the Abbott painting. Oh, no. Yeah,
not even Blackie. Why, that painting is so heavily guarded that... Rollins, stop laughing and get me a squad car. Blackie's going to steal the Abbott. What are we laughing about?
That is the first portion of Boston Blackie with the Abbott painting. We'll have more after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
We're listening to Boston Blackie here on the WGN Radio Theater. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. After Boston Blackie, it's my mom's favorite radio show, Lisa, Life with a Luigi, J. Carol Nash. Then after that, a good true crime drama on The Big Story. But we're listening to Boston Blackie. This is an episode called The Abbott Painting from September 24th, 1946, starring Dick Calmar. Here's the conclusion now to Boston Blackie.
No, Inspector Faraday, the gallery isn't closed. We're open till 9 tonight.
I see, Mr. Lawrence. Then you still have your regular number of guards on duty, huh?
Oh, yes, of course. Even though there are a few people in the gallery this late, it's almost closing time.
And nothing's missing?
Well, believe me, this place wouldn't be so quiet if anything were missing. Much less the Abbott painting you thought was going to be stolen tonight.
I didn't think it was going to be stolen, Mr. Lawrence. I just heard a rumor that somebody was after it, and I came down here to check. Just routine.
Well, I certainly appreciate your interest in my gallery, Inspector. Oh, may I show you around?
No, thanks. I have to get back to headquarters. Sorry if I had you worried about your Abbott painting, Mr. Lawrence.
Oh, I don't ever worry about it, Inspector. It's the most heavily guarded painting in my gallery. Why, even... not even...
Well, what was that? Sounds like someone broke a window on the front part of the gallery.
Yes, and there was a scream in that gallery there, too.
Come on. I think we'd better have a look over there.
Yes, I think we'd better. Here, what happened here? What happened?
I don't know, Mr. Lawrence. I just standing here, and all of a sudden the window behind me broke.
Someone must have thrown a stone in from the outside.
No, sir. Nothing fell in here. I'd say someone in here threw something out the window.
Well, did you see anyone throw anything?
No, sir. None of these people here threw anything. Must have been thrown by someone standing where I couldn't see them, sir.
Mr. Lawrence!
Here comes another one of your guards, Mr. Lawrence.
Yes, yes, and from the Abbott Gallery, too.
Mr. Lawrence! All of a sudden, the lights went out. When I turned them on, the Abbott painting was missing.
Well, turn in the alarm quickly.
Tom's gone to turn it on already.
Well, throw the switch that locks the doors and the window shutters.
All taken care of, Mr. Lawrence. Yeah, there goes the alarm.
Oh, dear, the Abbott's stolen. I can't believe it.
I can, Mr. Lawrence. Round up everybody in the place. Don't let anybody out. I want to question everybody. Even though I know the guy who stole your painting. All right, Blackie. I've questioned and searched everybody in the place, including you. And no one has the painting. Where is it?
You did the questioning and the searching. You tell me where it is.
That painting's been cut out of its frame. You cut it out and got rid of it. Now, how did you get it out of here?
The painting is missing.
You know very well it is. Because you stole it.
You can prove that, of course.
No, I can't prove it. But you're here. I got a tip you'd steal it, and the painting is missing. That's all I need to know.
Oh, no, Faraday. You also need to know where the painting is. And until you know that, you can't say I stole it.
All right. I can't say you stole it. But I can think it.
You can what? Think? You can think it? Faraday, you couldn't think your way out of a revolving door. Tell me something. There was a commotion in the other end of the gallery just before the painting was stolen. What was that?
Oh, somebody threw something out of a window.
The painting, maybe?
No, it was just a stone. I thought maybe it had the painting wrapped around it or something. But a cop on the street saw it fall. That was just a stone.
You're sure?
Yeah, that was part of the thief's scheme. To create a commotion in another part of the gallery so he could come in here, turn out the light, and grab the Abbott.
Oh, yes. Very clever idea.
It was your idea, and I know it.
But can you prove it?
No, I can't prove it.
Then, of course, I can go.
Yes, you can go. But when I find that painting, Blackie, your friends will find you in jail.
Oh, good morning, Mary. Come on in.
Better let me come in. Have you seen the morning paper?
No. What have I done now?
You've stolen the Abbott painting.
Oh, that's not news. That's old stuff. I did that last night.
Yes, but how did you do it, Blackie? The way it was guarded, with even Inspector Faraday there.
Oh, just a genius, that's all. Just sort of an...
There's a phone call for you, genius.
Thanks. Hello.
Good morning, Blackie. This is Henry Rice.
Oh, Henry. Good morning.
Yes, isn't it, though? And I see in the papers where you had a good night.
Oh, fair.
You got the Abbott, Blackie. How did you do it? How did you do the impossible?
It wasn't easy, Rice. I just made it look that way.
Blackie's friend, Shorty, is being framed for the murder of a man named Ashley. Gang leader Henry Rice, who hates both Blackie and Shorty, has the phonied evidence against Shorty, and in order to get it, Blackie promises to steal the valuable and heavily guarded Abbott painting. The morning papers announce that the painting has been stolen. And as we return to our story, Blackie is asking Henry Rice to keep his part of the bargain.
All right, Rice. I stole the painting for you. Where's the cigarette lighter with Shorty's fingerprints on it?
Where's the painting, Blackie?
I'll deliver it.
I'll surrender the lighter on delivery of the painting.
Oh, no. I don't trust you. You crossed me. You tipped off Faraday that I was going to steal the Abbott. But I got the painting for you just the same. Give me the lighter and I'll deliver the painting.
Fair enough. Here it is.
Thanks.
Now, when do I get the painting?
In a little while. But tell me something. What did you call Faraday and tell him I was going to steal the Abbott if you wanted the painting so much?
To tell you the truth, Blackie, much as I wanted that Abbott, I didn't much care whether you got the painting or Faraday got you.
No?
No. You see, it's hard for me to decide which I do most. Like that painting or dislike you.
Faraday speaking.
Hello, Inspector. This is your old pal, Blackie.
Listen, you. I don't want to talk to you until you're ready to tell me what you did with that painting. And then I'm going to talk to you through bars.
You mean they're putting you in a cage?
I'll cage you, Blackie. What do you want?
I want you to meet me at the City Art Gallery so I can give you the Abbott painting.
I wanted you in on this too, Mr. Lawrence, in case Blackie's just pulling another fast one. I don't know too much about pictures.
Well, I'm glad you called me in, Inspector Faraday. The Abbott was stolen from this room. Oh, Blackie, how did you do it, and where is the Abbott now?
One thing at a time, Mr. Lawrence. You can see how I stole the painting. There's the frame for it, still there on the wall, empty.
Yes, you cut the picture out of its frame, that's obvious. But how did you do it without anyone seeing you?
Well, that was the easiest part of it. I waited until there was no one here, then caused that commotion outside.
And while everybody was in the front hall of the gallery, you had time enough to cut the Abbott out of its frame, roll it up, and take it away.
Yes, but not very far. Come on. The Abbott's in the next room. Taped to the back of another picture.
Oh, thank heavens, man. I thought we'd seen the last of the Abbott forever. Where? Which picture?
Right there. The painting of the two children of... Hey. Hey, it's gone.
Huh?
Was hanging there last night.
Blackie, we sold that painting out a half hour ago.
What?
Yes, to a man named Smith. Smith from Kansas City.
Smith from Kansas City, huh? I know who that is, all right. An old friend of mine. See you fellas later.
Oh, no, Blackie. You're not going anywhere. This is another one of your tricks. You're coming to...
Not to jail, Faraday. At least not with this gun in my hand.
A gun? Oh, good heavens, why...
Good heavens, Mr. Lawrence? Goodbye.
Hello?
Mary, this is Blackie.
Oh, hello, Blackie. Give the painting back to Inspector Faraday the way you promised.
I tried to, Mary, but I couldn't. It's gone.
Gone?
Sold to a man named Smith from Kansas City for $250.
Oh, Blackie, no.
No is right, Mary. I think I know who has it, and it's not John Smith, and he's not from Kansas City.
All right, who has it?
A man who seems to like to play tag. And, Mary, if you don't mind, I'd like you to get into the game.
I don't see any reason for this call of yours, Blackie. As you can see, I am Smith of Kansas City, and I have what I want.
You mean you're Henry Rice of New York, and you think you have what you want?
Then what is that painting hanging on the wall behind my desk? Two very lovely children. Recognize it?
Yes, that's the painting I taped the Abbott to.
Surprised?
Frankly, I am. I didn't think you were smart enough to figure out how I'd steal it.
But I was smart enough, wasn't I? I arrived at your method of stealing it by the simple process of elimination, my dear Blackie. You see, it couldn't be taken out of the gallery, and so when I heard it was missing, I knew it must still be in the gallery. And so I looked, and so I found it.
Oh, fine. Is the Abbott still taped to the back of that painting on your wall?
Not quite. You'll never find the Abbott, I can assure you.
Even if I did find it, Rice, I wouldn't be finding the Abbott.
No?
No. If you knew anything about art at all, you'd know the painting I stole for you was a phony.
I don't believe it.
Look at it closely and you'll see. Come on, we'll look at it together and I'll prove it to you.
No, Blackie. You can be more clever than that, really. I can look at the painting myself and tell whether or not it's authentic.
Then go ahead, look at it.
And have you follow me to it? Oh, no.
Then you're going to spend the rest of your days with a phony painting. But that's not my worry.
You know, Blackie, you've aroused my curiosity. I hate to think I've been cheated, but I think you'd better stay here while I go look at it, if you don't mind.
I do mind. What was the buzzer for?
You'll see. Ah, there. Turn around and look at the reason for the buzzer. Come in, Max.
Yeah, boss, sure.
Where did you find a guy this big? In a redwood forest?
Rather overgrown youngster, isn't he? Max, I have to run out a minute. Do you think you could, persuade this fellow to remain here and quietly until I return?
Oh, sure, boss. I got a friend here in my pocket could convince him like this. Some convincer, huh, boss?
That's good work, Max. That should keep him asleep for a little while. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Hey, you know something, boss?
What?
I like to hit guys on the head. It does something to me. Oh, you come to now, huh? Good. I'll let you get up, and then I'll hit you again with my blackjack. Oh, hi, boss. You're back, huh?
Yeah.
Hi. Hello, Bryce. You see the painting?
Yes, and it's authentic, all right.
Huh?
Never mind, you wouldn't understand, Max. Blackie, your trick, alas, didn't work.
Well, you can't blame a guy for trying, can you?
No. You'll never find the Abbott, Blackie. You know, I've outsmarted you at every turn. I feel rather good about that.
I'll get that painting back.
You'll never even see it again. Now, don't you envy me, Blackie. I have the Abbott painting. I'm free and clear of any suspicion. But the police are looking for you, and you don't even know where I've hidden the painting. Well, now, I think you've done everything you can for me, Blackie. You may go now.
Well, thanks for something, anyway.
No hard feelings, Blackie. Here, I'll make amends by taking you to the top of the steps. Well, here we are, Blackie. Just one flight down, and you're in the street.
And I suppose you think out on my feet, too.
I trust not. You'll need to be rather nimble to sidestep the police. Don't forget, they're looking for you.
Thanks for the warning.
Don't mention it.
Blackie.
Good girl, Mary. You're right on time. Did everything work all right?
Perfectly. I did just what you told me on the phone. I waited outside Rice's office door, then I followed him down the steps, and from then on I didn't let him out of my sight till he went into another building. But, where's the Abbott?
You show me the building Rice went into, and I'll show you the Abbott. This is the door he went into when you followed him, Mary?
Yes, Blackie.
This is a warehouse. But warehouse a palace. This is where Rice hid the Abbott.
Yeah, but it's such a big warehouse.
We'll find it. Come on, let's go in. Say, the door's unlocked.
That's good.
No, that's bad. It means there's probably a guard around here somewhere.
Shh. Well, this seems to be nothing but an anteroom. There's another door there. Should we try that one?
Uh-huh, come on. But quietly.
Don't worry.
No.
I hear footsteps.
Yes, and I see the man who's making them.
Oh, I see something else, too. This is a gambling casino. It's empty now, but Rice must use this place every night.
Uh-huh. And here comes Mr. Footsteps. We'll have to take care of him before we do anything else.
I hope he isn't as big as that Max you were telling me about.
No, he isn't, but he's got a gun. Be quiet, or we'll be telling the angels about him.
You're so right.
Shh, here he comes. Hey, you! Thanks for turning your chin!
Why, Blackie, you hit him only once, you selfish. Not even a second sock for me.
Mary, I would gladly trade that second sock for a second sight that would help me find the Abbott.
Oh! Any luck in finding the painting over there, Blackie?
No, Mary. But I may find it under this tabletop.
Well, I have torn things apart till I'm exhausted. The last place I'm going to look.
Well, look over the old places again. We may have missed something.
Oh, dear. Well, it's not here. I'm going to rest a minute.
Yeah, I'll rest in a minute. Not here. I'll try this. Over here, maybe under this table. Nope, nothing here. I'll try over there.
Mind if I play a little roulette while you look?
No, go ahead.
I love roulette. When it's for fun.
I love looking for things when I can find them.
Uh-oh. Red and even.
The situation here is black and odd.
Oh, gosh, I guess Rice has us fooled completely.
Oh, no, Blackie, you'll find it. Want to quit for a while and play a little roulette?
No, stranger? I'm going to start thinking again. I'm sure if Rice came here, the painting is in here.
Red and even. Let's see where the little ball stops this time.
I wish it would stop on the painting if I... That's it.
What?
Stand back, Mary. That roulette wheel has turned for the last time.
What are you going to do?
Take that table leg here and smash the roulette wheel.
Oh, golly. In a million pieces. And I was just about to spin it and make a fortune.
Mary, we found a fortune. Look under what's left of the wheel.
Well, looks like a roll of canvas.
Here, look at it. When I take it out and unroll it, look.
The painting.
Yes, the painting, Mary. And suddenly the whole picture is changed.
Well, Blackie, so you went to all the trouble of stealing the Abbott just because of Shorty's lighter.
Yes. Now, Shorty has his lighter, and the art gallery has its Abbott, and everybody is happy, I suppose.
Well, I'm not happy. Why didn't you tell me Rice was framing Shorty and let me get that lighter from him?
Because by the time you'd have cleared Shorty, he'd have been sent to the electric chair.
Shorty was innocent.
Of course he was. If you're unhappy because I didn't let you help clear Shorty, I'm unhappy because Henry Rice was the cause of all this, and he's going free.
No, he isn't.
You've arrested him? What for? Running a gambling joint?
No, we couldn't prove that. But the DA has a great case against him, Blackie. And all because Rice made you steal that painting.
But you can't say Rice stole the painting. I did.
Yes, you stole it, Blackie. But who got it after you stole it?
Well, Rice did. Uh-huh. I'm beginning to see a little flaw in Rice's master plan.
And what a flaw. You didn't actually steal the Abbott. Technically, all you did was move it from one room to another. So that clears you. I'm sorry to say, but the painting was taken out of the gallery, so Rice goes to jail for receiving stolen property.
Good work, Faraday. This all started with Shorty's cigarette lighter, but it looks like Rice met his match.
That's Boston Blackie, September 24th, 1946, with the Abbott painting starring Dick Calmar as Boston Blackie with Maurice Tarplin as Inspector Faraday with Leslie Woods as his girlfriend Mary Wesley. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. Hey, I like that. It's nice and mellow music, Lisa.
Are you feeling mellow, Carl?
Very mellow.
You're not a mellow guy. You are just not.
How do you know? I might be mellow.
Of all the people that know you, I know you pretty darn well. I'd say
I like to kick back and be mellow once in a while. Just watch a little TV.
That's not what I meant. Like, you can have mellow activities, but your personality is not mellow.
Yeah.
You know the song?
Mellow Yellow.
They don't call him that.
No, we don't call you Mellow Yellow. For nothing.
That's right, Slick.
All right, we have news coming up in just a couple of minutes. I want to remind all of our listeners, we have a text in line, and we haven't had many texts today.
Not too many.
Yeah.
Text us.
Normally, people text in.
Constantly. I don't know. 312-981-7200. It's the same as our call-in line. We also have a Facebook page, and we would love it if you would like us and share our posts and share our radio shows and our schedule and our pictures and anything you think that some of your friends would like. We'd appreciate the support.
You know, yesterday, Lisa... she pretty much forced me at...
Nobody forces you to do anything.
She forced me to sing a duet with her, Roger.
Oh, really?
That's not the case.
She pretty much...
He only knows one show, and it's Grease, because he's not a musical kind of guy.
Made me sing.
So we sang the Summer Lovin' from Grease, because it's the only song he
knows.
Under
threat of violence.
It's the only song he knows, Roger.
Yeah, and so we sang it, and I can't sing...
No, you did a good job.
Oh, come on.
Was it a karaoke thing?
No, I mean, there was some music in the background, and I'm not sure where it is. Is it posted anywhere?
You have to ask your producer.
Oh, you taped it? You videoed it?
We videoed
it. Yeah, we have Videolicious now, Roger. You know why? We have a great producer.
Yes, you do.
And I had offered to give Lisa it would probably have been like a 3-minute foot rub if we would have got to 2,200 Facebook likes yesterday,
right.
But we didn't. We did not get to it.
But we are carrying that over through tonight.
We are?
Yeah. We have 2,128 likes.
So that means we only need 72 more.
Well, that's easy. That's a drop in the bucket.
68.
Oh, is that what it is?
No, 72.
I was right.
You're right. Okay, we're done
here.
The
yolk's on you, Lisa.
Yeah. When we have more time, we're going to talk about our argument earlier.
All right, so
this
if we
evening.
Get to 2,200 likes, no, we're not. If we get to 2,200,
we are.
No, we're not. But if we get to 2,200 likes.
2,150 for
no,
tonight.
No, 2,200.
All right.
Thank you,
if we can get to 2,200 likes, yeah. So just go to Facebook and search WGN Radio Theater. And like us, if we get to 2,200 likes, I will rub. Did you take a bath today?
A shower. Two of them, actually.
And you are wearing socks?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I will rub Lisa's feet.
You have to take off the sock, though. It doesn't feel good over the sock.
No. Deal's off. That's
doesn't
a deal.
Feel
that's a
good
deal.
Over the sock.
That is a deal breaker.
All right, we're done here.
Right
then.
There.
We're done.
Deal breaker.
I won't even accept it.
It'll be
it.
Good over the sock.
I won't accept it.
It'll be good.
It's right, not good.
Let's get to 2,200 likes, and then we'll talk about it.
Great.
But we do have some. Shante, where did we post that? We posted the duet. We sang a little duet.
I don't know where it is.
All right, we'll figure it out, and we'll let our listeners know where they can go watch us. Lisa sounded great on it.
Yeah, now this was just
Lisa's
a
professional singer.
Of course she is.
No. I was.
You don't stop being a singer.
It's not the same. You have to keep your voice exercised. It's a muscle.
Yeah.
But it's not like you were, on the
This was definitely not
Radio
an
City
audition.
Music Hall.
That's for certain.
But so you were just kind of, going through
we were just
the
being silly.
Hey, Roger.
Yeah.
So we did it one time, and then she listened to it. She's like, oh, no, we have to redo that.
I did say that.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Take two?
She made us redo it.
I did.
Because
That's
she didn't
because
like
Carl
the
messed
light,
the whole thing up.
How many times?
Just once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, Lisa, coming up to 2 years on the air with you here on WGN.
With me?
Sick of me yet?
Not usually.
Wow.
Now and then.
You have quite a high threshold for tolerance then.
That is true. I am the patient one of the group.
Yes, you are.
I know.
We've been here on the air almost 2 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
April 9th.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started April 9th of 2015.
Very good.
And
it's
it
been
was a Sunday.
Big pleasure being here every single week playing these classic radio shows. We started out just on Sundays, yeah.
Yep.
And then they expanded us to Saturdays and Sundays.
That's because we're doing a bang-up job here.
We try our best.
And I want to let everybody know that we have something in store that we are working on for our two-year anniversary that will affect everyone because we want to meet you guys. So
yeah, like
we're working on something.
Working on a meet and greet.
And when we get it all figured out, we will let you know, which will be next week.
And Lisa only charges $25 for a photo of herself. With you, so that's not
$75 for an autograph.
No, I'll pay them to allow them to take a picture with me. Please take a picture with me. Please, I'll pay you to do it.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely do something fun with our listeners.
We've got some idea up our sleeve, so I'm gonna work on that tomorrow because Carl just told me.
And I'm just joking. There will be no cost to take a picture with Lisa. Only a cost to take a picture with me.
Okay, who needs you anyways?
There we go.
Okay.
All right, there. I got my. My rim shot back. It was gone because this is, whose is this? This was in Mexico, I think.
I don't know. We don't know.
Oh, did they take
them? Yeah, they
took it down. Yeah.
It
wasn't here.
I felt naked for the past couple of weeks without
I didn't even notice it
last
week.
Please, Carl, no.
Without my rim shot.
Actually, Lisa hit it, but we were not supposed to say.
Yeah.
Well, you know. Yeah, I hit it. All
Lisa.
Right.
Oh, boy. All right. In this hour, it's Life with Luigi. Then in our next hour, the big story all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming sci-fi film The Discovery, which takes place after the existence of afterlife has been scientifically proven.
Hmm.
I'm so glad he's
still acting.
Still acting.
Yeah, he's definitely a living legend.
Been around a while.
All right, so what do they win?
Oh, they will win a pair of tickets to the Tony Award-winning Disney musical Mary Poppins playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
Oh,
312-981-7200. Here's a hint. He was the star of The Natural.
Made it a long time ago when I was a kid. I wanted it to be a very special battle.
How about this? This lightning bolt.
All right, who is that wonderful actor? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
Weekdays, WGN Radio comes to TV. Don't just listen, but watch The Steve Cochran Show each morning from 9 to 10 for a little news, talk, and fun. And then afternoons from 3 to 4, watch The Ro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis and get Ro's unique take on the day's news. Catch an hour of The Steve Cochran Show and The Ro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis weekdays only on CLTV.
Wow, it looks like you're on the edge of something new, Tom Jenke. I hear you've opened another Amazing Edge Kitchen and Bath Designer Showroom.
Yes, Lindsay. As owner of Builder Supply Outlet, I'm proud to announce our newest opening of The Edge in Orland Park.
I can't wait to spread the word on our Mr. Fix-It show. Is it like The Edge here at Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview?
It's even bigger and filled with the most beautiful kitchen and bathroom displays in the area.
I know your selection and designers are fantastic.
Our designers will treat you like family and take a personal interest in delivering the best service and products. Everyone is invited to come for a free consultation.
You do have a high-end look without the high-end price.
Our newest Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom is located on 151st Street, east of LaGrange Road in Orland Park. Or visit edgekitchenandbath.com.
High-end look without the high-end price. The Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom
from Builder Supply Outlet.
What does the SB stand for in the SB sofa at Penny Mustard?
Anything you want. With four different arm styles, three different leg options, a selection of cushions, leathers, and fabrics, the SB 8000 is whatever you want it to be.
And it has the deepest seats, perfect for cuddling.
Or people who are super tall.
So SB stands for stunning and beautiful?
Or Santa's beard?
Seriously, bro?
The SB 8000 sofa, starting at $1,866 at Penny Mustard.
Five locations throughout Chicagoland.
PennyMustard.com.
My mother always used to say, you are what you eat, and she was right. But who knows what's healthy anymore? Here's something. Drink Super Beets. What's Super Beets? Super Beets is a circulation superfood. Just one glass a day helps give you the cardiovascular power of this amazing vegetable. Why is this important to you? It's all about healthy blood flow. If you're over 40, your body may be losing its efficiency around energy, stamina, and even maintaining healthy blood pressure. Drinking good-for-you superfoods helps feed your body's cardiovascular and circulatory system and boosts your stamina and energy at the core level. Professional and college athletes trust Superbeets to help them be their best, and you should too. So do something good for yourself today. Go to superbeets66.com and try Superbeets for yourself. That's superbeets66.com, and right now you can get an additional 30-day supply of Superbeets for no additional cost with your first order, plus free shipping. So go to superbeets66.com today. That's Superbeets and the number 66.com. Go to superbeets66.com.
There's a new team coming to town, the WGN-TV Evening News team at 4. Join Ben Bradley, Lourdes Duarte, Demetrius Ivory, and Jarrett Payton weekdays at 4 starting April 4th on WGN-TV. And we're back with Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
Made it a long time ago when I was a kid. I wanted it to be a very special bath.
How about this? It's lightning bolt.
And we have Chris on the line. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, Robert Redford?
That is Robert Redford. You are absolutely right, and you are a winner. I hope you like Mary Poppins. You have won a pair of tickets. This is a Tony Award-winning Disney musical. It's playing right now at the Mercury Theater, running from March 29th through May 28th. And I hope you can bring a family member, a friend, a kid, anybody. You can spend a jolly holiday with Mary Poppins. Are you a fan?
I'm a big fan.
Oh, I'm so glad. I mean, who doesn't love Mary Poppins, right?
Everybody does.
Exactly. You can check it out at mercurytheaterchicago.com. Chris, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Chris. All right, it's time for Life with Luigi, good comedy series that starred J. Carroll Nash as a newly naturalized American citizen, Luigi Basco, living right here in Chicago. This series took place here, Lisa. And he wrote letters to his Mamma Mia in Italy, telling of his adventures here in Chicago. Luigi owned an antique shop. His sponsor, Pasquale, played by Alan Reed, who was the voice of Fred Flintstone, owned a spaghetti palace. And Pasquale's daughter, Rosa, was quite overweight, and he wanted to marry her off.
Too much pasta,
to
right?
Luigi, yeah. Too much pasta. Played by Jody Gilbert, and it was created by Cy Howard of My Friend Irma fame. It started on radio in 1948, lasted till 1953, and it was sponsored by Chicago's own Wrigley Spearmint Gum.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and it made a transition to television for a brief time in 1952. It's time for a half-hour episode now, part one of Pasquale's Birthday Party. This stars J. Carol Nash from June 19th, 1949, part one of Life with Luigi.
We invite you to enjoy Life. Life with Luigi, a new comedy show created by Cy Howard and starring that celebrated actor, Mr. J. Carol Nash, with Alan Reed as Pasquale. Luigi Basco left Italy to start his new life in America. He promised his mother that he would write and tell her about his adventures. So now let's read Luigi's letter as he writes to Mama Basco in Italy.
Dear Mamma Mia, it's a wonderful thing about America is all of the clubs that they got, especially for the younger people. There is a boys' club, a girls' club, athletic clubs, and a special club just to help old ladies across the street. That's called the Boy Scouts. But also they got the Girl Scouts. I guess this must be to bring the old ladies back on this side again. Just like in Italy, the people over here, they're crazy for their little bambinos. All over is the playgrounds, the parks, and lots of other places where the little people can get off of the streets and be safe from autos and taxis. Is it too bad that they no got places where big people can hide too? Today, I'm going to send my last $10 to the boys' camp. This is to pay for some poor boy so he can go to camp for a whole week. I think it's a wonderful idea, Mamma Mia, to get these little kids out of the city where they can see trees and cows and play baseball and go swimming and catch a poison ivy. I'm feeling so good about this. I think I'm going to go next door and ask my countryman Pasquale to give me some money, too. Hey, you're adorable. B, you're so beautiful. C, you're as sweet as it can be.
Luigi, my friend. Hello.
Hello, Pasquale. Hey, Pasquale, how you like to do a nice thing for somebody?
Well, my little banana nose, that's all it depends on three things.
What the three things?
Why should I do it? How much is it going to cost and you not getting it?
Pasquale, all I'm asking is to give us some money to send a poor boy away to camp this summer.
Nothing to do, and you stay here in the city and suffer just like the rest of us.
Pasquale, is it not for me? Is it for the poor kids? They get a chance to go out in the country, ride a horse, play cowboy. $10 is to send a boy away for 1 week. $20 for 2 weeks. $30 for 3 weeks.
Luigi, here's a 15 cents. Let him go see Hopalong and Cassidy.
Pasquale, what's wrong with you? I'm just asking you to help out with some kids.
Luigi, I got my own troubles. In this world, everybody's got to watch out for himself. Dogs eat dog, fish eat the fish. Whole world is full of cannonballs. You want to be kind to kids? That's your pleasure. When I was a kid, nobody was kind to me.
Well, Pasquale, maybe that's the trouble. If the children get the more kindness, maybe they're not so angry with the world, and when they grow up, they build a better one.
Thank you, Humphrey Bogart. Luigi, stop bothering me with sending the kids at the camp. If they want a fresh air and a greener grass, we got a bigger park right there. Even got a zoo. You don't have to go far to see cows or pigs, even a jackass.
You're so right, Pasquale. I don't have to go far to see a jackass.
That's a funny thing. And when I'm saying it, it's come out of different. You remember, Luigi, it's a dog eat a dog. Oh, those are kids with their ball, and they just broke one of my plates again.
Where's my ball? I just came in here.
I got it, you ball, and you ain't gonna get it.
What a Pasquale.
Give me back my ball.
You ain't a getting it, you little gangster. You broke one of my plates. I can have you arrested for arson.
Come on, Pasquale. You can't keep my ball.
How many times I'ma tell you not to play around in my store? Get out.
Oh, give me back my ball. Give me back my ball. Pasquale is a rat. Pasquale is a rat.
Listen to him.
Pasquale is a rat.
Pasquale. Maybe you use it the wrong psychology.
Oh, psychology, huh? Oh, close that door. Luigi, let me explain to you something about a child's psychology. You see, Luigi, in his childhood, every kid is a form of a lot of associations. He's a form of associations with his mama, his papa, and his teacher. This is called a parent-teacher's association.
Pasquale is one thing to know psychology, but is another thing to know people. I think in a boys' camp, but they know children are better than you. Now, excuse me, I'm gotta go to my night school class right now. Hey, Johnny.
Yeah?
Is this you, boy?
Gee, thanks.
You mustn't mind Pasquale. He's got so much on his mind. You see, he didn't even know I'm taking this ball.
Yeah, he's always taking away our ball. That Pasquale gives me a pain in the neck.
Does it give you a pain in the neck? Oh, that's too bad. Maybe you try a cold compress.
That old money bags. If you was drowning, he'd throw you a candy lifesaver.
Oh, no, no, no. That's not the truth, Johnny.
Oh, no? Yesterday, I heard his daughter, Rosa, say something about it being Pasquale's birthday. But he ain't gonna have one on account of he didn't even know it's his birthday.
Tomorrow is Pasquale's birthday?
Boy, I'd sure love to surprise him with a cake.
You would?
Yeah, a cake of some man on the bottom of a lake.
Now, wait, Johnny, wait. Hey, I got an idea. I make Pasquale a surprise birthday party. Johnny, you come?
Free cake and candy? I'd come even if it was for the no-goodniks.
Oh, I can adjust to see Pasquale's face when he sees somebody to make a party for him. He's going to be so happy. Johnny, nobody's ever been the kind to Pasquale. But we're going to kill him with the kindness.
A rocket'd be much faster.
No, Johnny, don't say that. Oh, Pasquale is going to have a big party. Oh, wait. I'm just to give him my last money to the boys at camp. Well, I'm going to go to my night school class now and ask my friends to help out. Well, goodbye, Johnny. I'm going to see you at the park.
So long.
D, you're so dangerous. E is excitable. F is... Must be for Father's Day.
Everything's
going to
be beautiful here.
All right, class. Quiet, quiet, please. I'll call the roll. Mr. Basco?
Here.
Mr. Harwood?
Here.
Mr. Olson?
Here.
Mr. Schultz? Mr. Schultz, you're here. Why don't you say here?
What am I, a coopy cat? Oh, thank you, fellow boobers. Oh, I'm so lovable.
Please, Mr. Schultz. Now, class, our lesson for today is on spelling. Now, who will volunteer to spell the word bench? Somebody? Won't somebody volunteer?
Looks like somebody will have to be drafted.
Now, really, class, it's not that hard. Now, who can spell bench? Won't somebody raise his hand? Mr. Schultz? Well, if you're volunteering, just raise one hand, not two.
Who's volunteering? I'm giving up. All right, Miss Pauling, I'm going to try it. Bench. B, E, N, E, N, N, N.
Oh, Mr. Schultz, don't be silly. Bench doesn't have so many N's.
This is a long bench.
Mr. Schultz, you may sit down.
On what? I didn't finish my bench yet.
Stop. Well, Mr. Basco, you have your hand raised. What is it?
Miss Spalding, I'm like to ask you in a class of something.
Yes, Mr. Basco.
Well, tomorrow is my countryman Pasquale's birthday. Pasquale is kind of a man, he's never have a party. He's even a forgetter when it's his birthday. And I was thinking, would it be nicer thing if we make him a pie?
No, please.
Wouldn't it be a wonderful idea if we make a Pasquale a surprise party?
Wonderful ideas, the surprise will be none of us will be there.
Horowitz, how's about you?
Well, Luigi, I got a big affair to go to tomorrow. You see, my wife's mother-in-law is, you should excuse the expression, expecting. I mean, my mother-in-law's wife, we got Milton Berle on the television.
That's all right. Olsen, maybe you...
Luigi, I'm sorry, but tomorrow night I'm joining the elks. The deer. I mean the moose.
What a spot for Daniel Boone.
Mr. Basco, let's face it, Mr. Pasquale is not very popular.
Popular? He is so mean. When he licks a 3-cent stamp, Washington wishes he was on the 2-cent stamp.
Class, just because Pasquale is mean, that's a mean we gotta act the same way? Wouldn't it be a nice thing if we all chip in and a surprise Pasquale with a nice birthday cake? Something for about $8. $5? $2.
Luigi, here's my penny. Get him a donut.
And so, Mamma Mia, your son Luigi is very sad today. Sad not only because there's going to be no birthday party for Pasquale tonight, but because maybe is it true what the Pasquale said about how people act. How they only look out for each other. Mamma Mia, in our family was always a love for each other. So I'm no understand this other talk about the dog must eat the dog. If this was true, Mamma Mia, sooner there would be nothing left in the world but the one big fat dog. And what the Pasquale said about the Johnny. You think a boy is born bad and is always going to be bad? No. If a boy is act bad, is always a reason. Remember once how Uncle Pietro's goat is suddenly go crazy? He's a refuser to give milk. He's a no talk to anybody. And one day he's a chase Mrs. Tarantella's goat to 3 miles. Later we find out why he's acted this way. He was in love with the Mr. Tarantella's goat.
All right, that's the first portion of Life with Luigi, starring J. Carroll Nashmore, in a few minutes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I want to remind all of our listeners that we have a special website. It's called Free Radio Classics, and there is an S on the end of there, freeradioclassics.com. If you log on to that website and put your name and email address, you hit send, and then an email will come to you, which is a confirmation email. Click that, and then you're signed up. And here's what happens. Every single Monday, meaning today, if you know the first one can be today, you'll get an email from me. And in that email will be an embedded classic radio show, digitally remastered, a 30-minute show. It might be Gunsmoke 1 week. It might be Suspense the next week. Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, Boston Blackie. It's a different show every single Monday, 52 weeks a year. Also in that email is a picture of whoever is on that radio show. So if it's Gunsmoke, you're going to get a picture of William Conrad probably in front of a CBS microphone. If it's Duffy's Tavern, you'll get a picture of Ed Gardner in front of an NBC microphone. And then there's historical information. There's the original broadcast date, the stars, all kinds of fun stuff. And Lisa gets it every single Monday.
I listen to it. Almost every there, I think I skipped one, but I love to listen to it.
Oh, it's unacceptable.
I know. I'm not a big Gunsmoke fan.
What? Gunsmoke's great. You know, if you listen to Gunsmoke, you'd like it.
It's just not my thing.
Gunsmoke.
That's the only one I skipped.
Gunsmoke is fantastic.
Not like a Western gal, but I really like the rest of them so far. Yeah. That's the only one I skipped.
All right, so folks, it's a free service. It's our way of thanking you for listening to this show and making us number one in the ratings.
We got some good ratings, yeah. So we appreciate everybody out
there
listening.
Really appreciate that very much. And do tell a friend about our show. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning on this legendary station, Radio 720 WGN. And we do have a podcast, too. If you miss our show for any reason, you can go and podcast, listen to our podcast. And in fact, all of our there's 165 podcasts. This is podcast one. This will be podcast 166. It'll be up a few minutes after we leave the air at 2 o'clock in the morning. But here's the great thing: all of our podcasts are available somewhere.
Well, would you give our producer just a few minutes to get it up?
She's so good.
Three minutes is all she needs. No, give her a little time. Give her an hour to get it up there. But it's on WGNRadio.com.
If they want to listen to the past podcasts, like, you know,
it's all there. WGNRadio.com. Yeah. It's all there. You can go if you have the app, or you can go to that website. There'll be there's podcasts. You can click podcast, then WGN Radio Theater. And we start at number one. I also post both Saturday and Sunday podcasts on our Facebook page, on our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page, which I will do tomorrow when I wake up, which is, you know, early afternoon.
And also, we post pictures of whoever is starring in the radio shows we're airing. Like right now, we're in the midst of tuning into Life with Luigi. There's a terrific picture of J. Carol Nash performing a Life with Luigi radio show in front of the CBS microphone. It's right up there on our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and then search WGN Radio Theater. When you're there, please like us as well. You'll see a picture of J. Carol Nash. And then a little earlier, we had a picture of Dick Kalmar because he was the star of Boston Blackie. And then coming up in just a little while, I think we have a picture of who is up
from
there?
From The Big Story.
Yeah, who is that? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't have it up yet.
Oh, Robert Sloan.
Yeah, it'll go up.
There's a picture of Robert Sloan.
At the 1 o'clock
All right,
hour.
So check out our Facebook page. Also, we have a website for this show, WGNRadiotheater.com. I know it's a lot of information, but if I could remember it, anybody can.
True.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, we're talking about third grade level could remember all this stuff.
I don't know.
I could remember it.
Oh, I'm just going to nod my head and
You're
agree
just
with
nodding.
You.
You're just agreeing.
Yep.
All right. So it's time now for the conclusion to Pasquale's Birthday Party from June 19th, 1949, starring J. Carol Nash. Here's Life with Luigi.
Anyway, I'm sitting here in my store thinking of things over.
Luigi, my fellow boober. Ach, look at you. You got such a worried look on your face. Like a sardine when he hears somebody opening up the can.
Schultz, does it look like there's going to be no birthday party for Pasquale?
Well, Luigi, that's what I came to talk to you about. You see, the fellas, I mean, we all was... Ach, Luigi, here's the $8.
Schultz, oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Schultz.
Oh, stop that. Yeah, Miss Spalding, me, and Horowitz, and Olsen, we couldn't stand it the way you looked when we turned you down, so we shipped in. Here's the $8, buy the cake, and believe me, Luigi, when I say I hope Pasquale chokes on it.
Schultz, see, you don't really mean that. Oh, what a party is it going to be for Pasquale. You tell the whole class... 8 o'clock tonight in my store is going to be big surprise party. Then I'm going to walk in at 8:30 with the Pasquale. Oh, wait, wait.
What?
I'm got $8 for the... Oh. Huh? I'm got $8 for the cake, but there's no money for the food. The candy, the ice cream, and the drinks.
Food, candy, ice cream, drinks? Look, Luigi, from me, you are not getting one red cent. And if the FBI thinks that's propaganda, shoot me. Look, Luigi, wait. Into my head, an idea just pooped. I know, trust the fellow who can lend you all the money for Pasquale's birthday party.
Oh, Pasquale. So what are you talking about?
Sure, Luigi. He don't know it's his birthday. Now, you say the party is for a friend of yours. Ask him for the money. You'll find out how generous he is.
But Schultz,
you're worried, huh? Well, I gotta go now. We're all gonna be in your store at 8 o'clock sharp. And cheer up. Don't be a pessimist. Smile. Be an octopus. Goodbye, Luigi. And remember, smile. Oh, my rheumatism is killing me.
I'm a feel funny. I'm a gotta ask Pasquale for money for his own surprise party. Pasquale, for your sake, I hope you lend me this money.
Hello, Luigi. Well, what are you looking at me like that for?
Pasquale, I'm like to lend, say, about $25.
Oh, ho, the kids are there and satisfied with that camper vacation. Now you want to send them on a trip to Europe, eh?
Pasquale, is it not for the boys at camp?
Then maybe it's for that little gangster, Johnny. You want to buy him his own little jail, maybe, eh?
No, Pasquale. I'm going to need this money for a party.
Democratic or Republican?
Pasquale, please, no joke. This party I'm going to make is a surprise party for a very dear friend of mine.
Oh, a friend, eh? Is it somebody I know?
You know him very good.
He's about my size?
That's right.
He's got a foolish face, a mean disposition, everybody's a hate him?
Well, he...
I know, it's a Schultz. I'm sorry, Luigi. Goodbye. Go away, scats. No money.
No, Pasquale, please listen. Just 1 minute.
All right, go ahead and talk. My ears, is it going to be hanging out? But in between, is it going to be nothing?
Well, Pasquale, I'm going to need the $25 for a very good friend. And I would do anything if you do me this favor.
I don't care. Anything?
Almost anything.
Then marry my daughter, Rosa.
No, Pasquale, she's too fat for me.
Oh, Luigi, stop. Come here, I tell you what I do. I make you friend at the most beautiful catered party right near your place. Everything from soup until you go nuts. Only you gotta marry Rosa.
Pasquale, please,
you said you would do anything.
Rose is not anything, she's everything.
All right, Luigi, we compromise. Don't marry her. Just to give me the pleasure tonight at the party, I'm going to make a little announcement about your engagement to Rose.
Pasquale,
Well, you claim you do this for your friend. What do you say?
All right, Pasquale.
Good. I'm going to call in my little girl and break the good news right now. Rosa! Rosa! Rosa!
You called me, Papa!
Yes, my little buttercup. Rosa, say hello to Luigi.
Hello, Luigi!
Hello, Rosa.
Rosa, I've got a good news for you. Tonight at 8 o'clock, Luigi's giving a surprise party for his friend Schultz. Then are we going to announce your engagement. What do you say to that?
But, Papa, Schultz is already married.
Ooh, shut up your face!
Well, Pasquale, I'm going to my store, clean up the place, order the cake, and call up all of the people that should have come to the party.
Well, Luigi, you're not going to have a time for all that. I'm going to call up all of your friends. How's that, eh?
Oh, thank you, Pasquale. Here's the list. Goodbye. Goodbye, Rosa. See you later.
Some list. Since when has Schultz got so many friends? You see, Rosa, what I'm going to do to get a boy for you? Catering a big party for Luigi's best friend, Schultz. He's the best friend. I'm a brother Luigi to America. I'm going to give him his first suit. I'm going to give him his first pair of shoes. I'm going to give him his first haircut. And Schultz is his best friend. All of my life, I'm going to do good things for people as no depreciation. I'm always good, nice, kind, speak soft.
Papa!
Shut up! Wait. My deal with Luigi is to cater the party. For nobody to show up, it's not my fault. What an idea.
I'm gonna fix you a party, Mr. Schultz, but good. I'm gonna never have a party. Why should he? Hello, Horowitz. Listen, about the surprise party for tonight. I'm calling for Luigi, and he's to say the party's postponed until next week. Yes. You see, a little mistake was made. Schultz was born in a leap year, so we gotta wait till it's a leap over. You don't understand? Well, what's the difference? There's no party tonight, anyway. Tell all the people they shouldn't have come. Well, Luigi, it's 20 after 8. What are we standing around in my stall for? Let's join the party in your stall.
Take it easy, Pasquale. It's no rush. In America, it's always a fashion to come late to parties. That's etiquette.
Oh, please, stop quoting Emily's Post. I made you a bigger party. I'm going to go in and see it.
Pasquale, wait a few more minutes, Hey, look how nice you look.
That's another thing I'm no like. Why are you making me dress up for Schultz's party? Look at this full dress suit. I feel like I'm walking around in my long underwear with the flaps hanging off. Come on. If you're not going in, I'm going in myself.
All right, Pasquale. I'm going to go with you. Come on. Hey, look. Parties are supposed to be in my store. But the store is dark.
Yes, maybe nobody's there.
Yeah, could be. Well, we go inside and see if anybody is in.
Luigi, what are you yelling about?
I don't know, Pasquale. Wait. I open up the door. I'm coming in with the Pasquale. Come on in, Pasquale.
What's the matter for you? I'm here.
Well, I know you are, Pasquale. Hey, where is everybody? Hey,
what are you, Boob McNuts? Are you talking to yourself? If you're not going to put on the light, I am.
Hey, nobody is here.
Well, that's no surprise to me. Hey, you make a party, you invite people, and nobody's to show up. Even the fella you're making a party for, he's no show up. That's a gratitude. You know why people is no show up? Because Schultz is not the like. That's why.
Have a sandwich, Pasquale. Which you like the best, the corned beef or the cheese?
I'm no hungry. Push them together. I eat them both. Look at this beautiful party you make for him. All this food, the table so fine a set, that birthday cake. Just look at it. Happy birthday to... That's a funny way to spell it. Schultz. P-A-S-Q-U-A-L-E.
Happy birthday, Pasquale. It's a surprise party for you.
What?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pasquale. Happy birthday to you.
Luigi, I'm got a terrible confession to make.
Happy birthday,
Mrs. Spalding, Horowitz, Olson.
Papa, I heard what you said on the telephone, and I brought everybody to the party.
Huh?
And that's a good thing she did. This party was for you.
Yeah, Mr. Pasquale. Luigi planned this party for you yesterday.
But I'm no understand what's happened. I'm a call up, but nobody's coming. And now everybody's a walk in.
You see that, Pasquale? You got this poor dumb cop all for shimmered. Luigi, I'm no good man. I'm called up everybody and told them not to come.
You what?
Oh, I'm so low I could shake hands with a worm.
You are even lower than that, Pasquale. You are so low. If you was wearing Dr. Scholl's foot pads, Dr. Scholl would be sitting on your head.
That's all right, Scholl. Hey, wait a minute, Mr. Delicatessen, man. Don't you tell me how low I am.
Oh, boy. Cake, ice cream, candy. Mr. Basco, can I start eating now?
Sure, Johnny, sure.
Sure, kid, sure. Go ahead. Eat the stuff for yourself until you get a sick.
Come on, everybody, eat the stuff.
Papa, when are you going to make the announcement?
Oh, the announcement.
That's right. Quiet, everybody, please. I got an announcement to make. Especially for you, Luigi. I'm giving $100 to the boys at camp so little Johnny could go away for the whole of summer.
Pasquale.
Gee, Mr. Pasquale, thanks. thanks.
Oh, I'm getting sick and tired of saving those rotten balls.
All together, everybody. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow.
Oh, Pasquale, you must excuse me. I didn't know how old you was, so I only put one candle on a cake.
Luigi, one candle was just the right. This is my first birthday party. Hey, Luigi, I just thought of something.
Huh?
I'm your best friend.
That's right, Pasquale. You're my best friend.
And we always are going to be best of friends, Luigi. Oh, what a fun are we going to have. Always together. Two buddies are like a hi-ho and a silver.
So, Mamma Mia, was a wonderful birthday party. Everybody is a want to find out how old the Pasquale was. So Schultz is a count his teeth. Pasquale is a say is a no use, his teeth is a false. But a Schultz is a count his teeth anyway, and a figure out how Pasquale's a dentist is a 32 years old. Harry, you should see the change in a Pasquale. He's become so kind. When Johnny has accidentally dropped a plate, Pasquale is sure he's a perfect host, and he's a drop a plate, too. Then when Schultz is a drop a plate, Pasquale is a drop of two plates. And when Horowitz is a drop a plate, Pasquale is a drop of three plates. I'm thinking to myself, how come Pasquale is got so kind? Then I'm going to realize it's a my store and he's a dropping on my plates. Well, a good night to Mamma Mia. Your loving son, Luigi Basco, Little Immigrant.
Life with Luigi is a Cy Howard production. It is written by Mack Benoff and Lou Derman and directed by Mack Benoff. J. Carroll Nash has starred as Luigi Basco with Alan Reeves as Pasquale, Hans Conried as Schultz, Mary Shipp as Miss Balding, and Jody Gilford as Rosa. Music is under the direction of Lynn Murray.
That's a terrific comedy episode of Life with Luigi from June 19th, 1949. And it was a Luigi throws a birthday party for Pasquale, Lisa.
Yeah, you're... Well, at least you're actually Italian, yeah. Because I know that he's not
Italian. He was Hungarian. Yeah, he was Hungarian. And he did a great... Italian, what do you call it?
Accent.
Yeah, accent. The accent.
Yeah.
He was great. It's my mom's favorite radio show. She used to listen to this as a kid. And her two favorite radio shows were Life with Luigi and Dr. Kildare.
And we play both of them.
Yes, we do. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa and I and Shante are here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. And when we come back here next week, it'll be April Fool's Day. You know that?
It will be. I probably shouldn't share this, or I should. I won't be here on Saturday night.
Oh, no. Is that an April Fool's joke?
It's not. But I will be back on Sunday. I'm going
to visit my daughter at school.
She has a mom sorority.
You have a job over here.
I know. It's a mom sorority thing.
How many days have you taken off this year already?
So, you know, listen to the show, but it'll be a better show on Sunday because I'll be back.
Right. But I think Mike's going to co-host with me, Mike Costello.
Like I said, it'll be a better show on Sunday.
He's going to show up here on a Saturday?
He is.
Wow.
You know, it'll be okay, but Sunday will be the winner next
weekend. Does his agent let him come here?
I don't know.
High power agent, William Morris.
I had to bag him to try to take my place.
He's A-list, you know.
I've heard that.
And,
look, nobody can be me, but he's going to sure try real hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, all right. So we'll be here next week, Saturday and Sunday. You will not be here Saturday.
But I will be here on Sunday.
So you're going to miss Our Miss Brooks, Box 13, and Crime Classics. But then you'll be back for the Jack Benny program, Broadway Is My Beat, and Dimension X. And our full schedule, folks, is listed at our website, which is WGNRadioTheater.com, WGNRadioTheater.com.
Right. We also post our schedule on our Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater, and our wonderful producer, Shante, also posts our schedule on the WGN Radio Facebook page. So you have lots of places to find out.
Wow, there's no reason to
or
not
you can
know.
Just show up and whatever we play is good.
Yeah.
You know, we only play the good stuff.
All right. And we have a text in line. If you have any questions for us, if you want to know why Lisa takes off so many
shows, rarely,
give us a text, 312-981-7200. I don't think I've missed one show since we started. You know that?
I don't think
that's
you
dedication,
have.
Lisa.
Yeah, some of us have it and some of us just don't.
Man, do I get some kind of an award?
You know, you have that same thing, like a daddy-daughter thing for your daughter.
Yeah.
It's already. It's just that she's so close. I'm flying.
Oh, yeah.
You got to drive.
Wow,
and come
you know,
back.
That's right. When my daughter graduates from Purdue, I'm probably going to have to be there on the weekend.
If her graduation's on a weekend, sometimes
sure.
they're not.
Well, we'll see. All right. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. When we come back, it's a true crime drama on the big story.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. Just about 7 minutes after 1 o'clock in the morning, it's our last hour here until next week. Well, you're not even here next week.
I'll be here on Sunday.
Okay. I think it's an April Fool's joke. I really do. I think it's an April Fool's joke.
It's possible.
How could you not be here? You love doing this show.
It's a mommy daughter sorority.
She literally
has
a smile on her face the whole time broadcasting.
I seriously, as soon as the show starts.
Thankfully, she brushes her teeth a lot.
I do. But as soon as the show starts, I do. I get this smile that automatically just comes over
me. She comes here.
It's true.
She's driving from her town and I'm driving from my town. And we have a long drive. So she'll call me. She's like, hey, it's time for the show. And, you know,
I'll say, what are you doing?
And
I'll
answer,
be like, I'm taking a bath.
No, and she's like. And she's like, what, you know, and then we kind of catch up because we only talk a couple times during the week. Usually, and we catch up. Hey, it's our show. And you're always so happy. Why would you want to take a day off?
Well, maybe I will. Maybe I won't.
I mean, it's only your daughter's graduation.
April 1st. It's not a graduation.
Or what is it?
Just a sorority mommy daughter.
Oh,
right?
Do that via Skype.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Skype it in.
Exactly.
You know?
And I'm going to fly there because I don't want to drive. It's in Ohio.
You know
it's Miami
why?
Of Ohio, and you I don't want to drive.
You know why I don't like to fly anywhere? Because
Uh-oh.
My arms get tired.
I could imagine.
Yeah. Shante liked that one. Look, she's laughing in there. She liked it.
She's not laughing.
Yeah.
She's laughing at you.
So, all right. Well, I guess you can take a day off.
Thank you so much.
Just never the same without
yes,
you.
Yes, Master.
I only
Thank
give you,
Master.
You a hard time about it because I like having you here.
Well,
although Mike does a great job. So.
I like to be missed.
Yeah. All right.
I don't want anybody to take my spot.
In this hour, it's the big story. You're going to like this. A good, true crime case. And it's brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming drama The Glass Castle, about a young girl coming of age with her deeply dysfunctional parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the prize for this is, this is so exciting, 4 tickets to the Chicago Artisan Chocolate Show on April 22nd and April 23rd. It's at Plumbers Hall in the West Loop.
I'm going to go there as a maraschino cherry. Then everybody will want to talk to me and, you know. Because I'll be a maraschino cherry on the Sunday. I'm going to dress up.
This is not that, like, it's not a Sunday thing. They're, like, making chocolate sculptures.
Sunday.
No, yeah. It's chocolate sculptures.
Oh, okay. What else?
Like chocolate fountains, that kind of thing.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so your joke
didn't maybe
work
I won't
out.
Go as a, I didn't do this.
That's
it
a good
would have been
thing.
Better if
right.
I had done
that's
that.
That's probably why.
Probably would have been a lot funnier. All right, so what? That's what they win?
That's
two tickets
win.
Or 4 tickets?
It's 4 tickets.
4 tickets.
You can call now, 312-981-7200, and tell us who that actress is.
Now, here's a hint. She played the lead role in The Ring.
I'd really rather watch it alone. Really.
All right, scary movie, man. Ooh, first time I saw The Ring, man, that scared me. when that little creepy thing came out of the TV. Oh, gosh. All right, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner. I think as it gets late, I get a little slap happy.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, all right. We'll be right back.
And we are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are still up late playing classic radio theater, but now we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that one more time.
I'd really rather watch it alone. Really.
And Shantae took a caller offline, and Joanne knew the answer. Oh, I'm sorry, Shantae, it was Maureen. I'm sorry, that was my mistake. It was Maureen who knew the answer. That was Naomi Watts, and Maureen is a winner. I'm so sorry, Carl, you looked at me funny.
It's like, it says it right up there, Maureen.
It says Maureen, and I said Joanne. It's 4 tickets to Chicago Artisan Chocolate Show on April. Stop laughing at me. On April 22nd and April 23rd, it's at Plumbers Hall in the West Loop. I would
Maureen,
love to go to this. That's how you spell Maureen. It's J-O-A-N-N-E. You can enjoy demonstrations and see chocolate sculptures take shape. I love chocolate, so I'm just getting hungry listening to this. Get tickets and details at chocolateevents.net.
You like dark chocolate, though, right? I like milk chocolate.
Oh, what do you know? Literally?
Nah, dark chocolate. I don't know.
Dark,
kinda
dark.
Kind of gives me a
chocolate.
Headache when I eat dark chocolate.
No, like special dark. You know that Hershey's special dark?
No, I like
the
milk.
It's like bitter. It's milk. So good.
All right, so text us. You like milk chocolate or dark chocolate? 312-981-7200.
No contest. It's
I
dark.
Think it'll be milk. Milk will win.
Dark. I think adults go for the dark.
Really? All mm-hmm. right. Well, I'm an adult.
You are not an adult. You are absolutely
I
not.
I am an adult.
You are not.
Yes, I am.
I'm going to talk to your mom about that.
All right. Big story. It was a crime drama. Started on radio in 1947. Lasted all the way to 1955. Good series. It dramatized true stories of real-life newspaper reporters. It was top-rated. And each week, the program recognized the reporter who wrote the story, and he or she received 500 smackaroos. It was sponsored by Pall Mall, and Bob Sloan was the narrator. Let's tune into part one now of the big story called Manhunt in Manhattan. Here's the big story.
The big story. Okay, that's Moose. Now, y'all know what to do. Let him in.
Hiya! Hiya, Joey!
Sit down.
What's the matter? Hey, put that gun down, Joey.
What's the matter, huh? Nothing. Not a thing. Just ratted. He just went and sang to the cops.
I didn't!
Shut up. Shut up and start to die. Because here it comes.
Oh, don't, Joey, don't!
Just a gag, Moose. It wasn't loaded. I was getting bored, so I thought I'd have a laugh. Okay, now let's get to work. I got a nice job. All lined up.
The Big Story. Another in the thrilling series based on true experiences of newspaper reporters. Tonight, to Ted Prager of the New York Daily News, goes the big story. Now the authentic and exciting story of Manhunt in Manhattan.
You are Ted Prager, night reporter for the New York Daily News. And murder is almost old hat to you. You've covered the doings of Vincent Mad Dog Carl, Dutch Schultz, Oney Madden, and Murder Incorporated for your paper. You know your underworld. You know robbery, arson, burglary, and homicide. Almost inside out. The way an insurance man knows statistics. Yes, you know your business. You're even a little blasé about crime. Until one night, about 1 a.m, you're in a friendly bar on East 7th Street. And the conversation is small talk with Sandy, the bartender.
Oh, football's not football anymore. Too professional, Sandy. Give me those college teams.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mr. Prager. You take that old Notre Dame team, I'd rather watch them than it. Hey, Mr. Prager, you see that?
What?
That guy just walked in.
The one with his hair all slicked down?
Yeah. Looks like there's four or five women.
Say, I know that face from somewhere. Some small-time mug or other.
What are they spreading out like that for?
I don't know. Sandy, it looks like a stick-up.
There's a smart man. Cute, too. You're the man of cigar. That's just what it is. All right, everybody, quiet. And you people haven't figured it out yet. This is what we call a holdup. Get your wallets out, rings, jewelry from the ladies. My boys will pass among you. Barkeep, you.
Me?
Open up that register and empty it on a bar. Now, make the rounds, boys. And you don't have to leave none of these good people car fare. Let them walk. What are you looking at, cute guy?
Nothing.
I see what you got.
Here's my money.
Yeah, $40. Now take your pen, too, and your wallet and that ring.
Okay.
What do you think you're looking at? My face? Don't you like what you see? Maybe you want to remember me. Is that it?
Here.
Moose.
Yeah?
Give me a blackjack. This cute fella here has given me the once-over.
Chief, we're all set. We got everything cleaned it out good. Let's go.
Okay, we go. Too bad, cute guy. And I was just going to give you something to remember me by. So long, dopes.
Then something incredible happens. Five crooks walked in, but only three leave. Two of them are still standing in the bar, looking bewildered, not knowing what to do. And you realize that they're not armed. Maybe you can stop them. You move, and pandemonium breaks loose.
All right, stand back there. You two, stop, all right? Okay.
Hey, the cop got him both.
Good shooting there, officer.
Thanks.
Well, you couldn't get them all, but at least you got two of them.
Yeah.
Like that, officer?
I don't think so. Say, who are you? You look familiar.
Ted Prager of the News.
Oh, yeah, sure. I remember you, Mr. Prager. Excuse me, I got to call the ambulance.
Nice work, officer. I'd like to write you up. What's your name?
Matt Gaines, 22nd Precinct. I could use the story, Mr. Prager. You could say it's too bad I only got two of them. Too bad I only got two of them. Ain't that the funniest thing you ever heard?
Oh, that's terrific, Joey.
Listen, when Joey Rice does it, it gets done.
Yeah.
Too bad I only got two of them, said the policeman. Listen, from the paper, get this. It was not until after the shooting that the officer discovered his fatal mistake. The two men who had entered the bar with the gang were not part of the mob. I like that. Not part of the mob.
Yeah. Go ahead. Finish it, Joey.
Yeah, hold your horses. Not part of the mob. Instead, they were two innocent taxi drivers that the leader of the mob had forced to stay behind to act as shields so that the actual robbers might escape under cover of the violence directed against the taxi drivers. Boy, is that the payoff.
Yeah, those dopes standing there. You know, I can just see them.
Jeez, imagine what they'd done. They start beating up those taxi drivers and a cop comes and bang, bang. Law and order lays them out cold and says, too bad I only got two of them.
Yeah. They dead, Joey?
Nah. Only one. Here, listen. One of the drivers, George Beaver, age 51, died instantly. The other, Edgar Benedetto, 34, is in City Hospital, where his condition is listed as critical. Boy, I ask you, ain't that the best scream you ever heard?
Yeah.
Sit down, Gaines. Why don't you sit down?
If he dies, Mr. Prager, I don't know what I'll do.
Now, why blame yourself? You made a mistake any cop might have.
A mistake?
That's right. Anyone could have done it. No one blames you.
I killed a man, an innocent man, and there's another one inside there in the operating room, and he may die, too. I murdered two men.
You didn't murder anyone. You accidentally shot two men in the line of duty. Look, I saw the face of the man who really murdered Beaver, the leader of that gang. It was a cruel face and a vicious one. He's the murderer, if anyone is.
I tell you, if Benedetto dies, Mr.
Gaines,
Prager,
I'll make you a promise. I'll find that man. I know his face from somewhere. I don't care how long it takes or what I have to do, but I'll find him.
That man, Benedetto, in the operating room, I checked up on him.
He's 34. Been driving a cab since he was 21. Got a wife and two kids. A girl, 7, and a little baby, 21 months. I killed their father. I made a widow out of his wife.
Stop it, Gaines. You've got to stop it. In the first place, Benedetto's not dead.
No, only one of them's dead. Only Beaver's dead. Only a 51-year-old man's dead. That's not so bad, is it?
Why do you torture yourself?
Yeah, maybe I ought to just go outside.
Sit down and just wait, Matt. Try it. Maybe it won't be so bad. Yes? What is it, Dante?
I'm sorry, gentlemen. Mr. Benedetto died on the operating table.
Gaines, are these all the pictures in your rogues gallery?
That's right, Mr. Prager.
Well, let's get started. That batch there will do. I'll know that face when I see it. You turn him, Gaines, I'll call if I see anything.
All right.
Nope, it's none of those. Let's see some more.
You aren't gonna find him.
Keep going, Gaines, just keep going. What did you do that for? Why'd you throw him down?
Oh, what's the use? We won't find him. What's the use of anything?
Look, I told you before, you've got to get that crazy idea out of your head that you're responsible for the death of those drivers.
I killed him, didn't I?
Gaines, try to listen to me. I'm going after the man who led that holdup, the man who's really responsible for the death of those drivers.
Well, that's going to be dangerous, Mr. Prager. If it gets around you're hunting a crook, you'll lose all your contacts. You won't be able to get the inside on anything.
I'll take that chance. I can take care of myself.
You won't even be able to get a byline on these stories. You won't dare let anyone know who's doing the job.
That's not the most important thing in the world.
And you get too close to this guy, there's no telling what might happen to you.
I can still take care of myself. Now pick up those pictures and let's finish looking at them. And get rid of the idea you killed anyone.
Yeah, okay, sure. I'll just forget the whole thing. Like it never happened. Only what do I do when I see a kid on the street and he reminds me of Benedetto's kids? What do I do at night to make me forget so I can go to sleep? Tell me that.
And you, Ted Prager of the Daily News, you look at his eyes as he says these words, and you realize that this is a lot more than a story for your paper, important as that is. Yes, you want to help catch that crook with the patent leather hair and the steely eyes. But a man's sanity is at stake as well. The sanity of a nice Irish patrolman named Matt Gaines. That's also at stake. And you watch his big, open face as he listlessly turns the pictures in front of him. And you know you've got a job on your hands. A big one.
Okay, that's the first portion of the big story, January 7th, 1948, Manhunt in Manhattan. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it is 1:36 in the morning. Thanks for staying up late with us. We are here every Saturday and Sunday night, playing your favorite classic radio shows. These were the great radio programs that were on the radio before the advent of television, back in the 30s, the 40s, and 50s. And thankfully, Lisa, that many of these shows, many of these shows were preserved because we had fighting men and women overseas, and they would make these recordings, these 16-inch transcription recordings. They were glass discs for a while, and then they were made out of another material. For a while, they were also aluminum discs, and you would get 15 minutes on each side of one of these big 16-inch transcription discs. And most of these recordings that were playing on the air here came from these discs. We have them lab transferred and then digitally remastered, and that's why they sound like they do. Thankfully, though, we had, you know, the these men and women overseas fighting on our behalf in the war. I mean, not it wasn't good that there was a war, obviously, but we wanted our men and women fighting overseas to hear these radio broadcasts. So what did we do? We made electrical transcription discs of them so that we can ship them to Great Britain or Japan or wherever they were fighting, and then they can hear these recordings. And so we have almost 100,000 shows that we've preserved over the years, and that's why we're able to play them now. But there was no television back in the 1930s. Well,
no, I remember.
You know, actually, they did invent television in like 1920-something, but it didn't really make it to the American living rooms
right.
until the late 1940s. And then the early 1952, 1953, pretty much yeah. everybody started getting a television. And then, unfortunately, because people were so enamored with this newfangled gadget of a television that they forgot about dramatic radio, and it sort of made its, you know, it's made its swan song, really. It's kind of sad. But we had 30-plus years of these shows, and we are going to continue to play them here as long as they'll have us on this great radio station, 720 WGN. Every Saturday and Sunday night, we're here till 2 o'clock in the morning. We start at 11 p.m., and we play all your favorites. And we're in the midst of tuning into the big story. Let's go back to January 7th, 1948, for the conclusion to Manhunt in Manhattan on the big story.
You, Ted Prager, night reporter for the New York Daily News, get moving on your search for a smooth-haired bandit who held up a bar and caused the accidental death of two taxi drivers. And though you know what you're doing is dangerous, may cost you your job or maybe even your life, and even if you get anything, you won't be able to write it with your byline, you start making the rounds. You start combing through those smoke-filled bars where crimes are hatched and dips meet to talk over their successes.
And you know what she did? She went right up to him and scratched her initials in his cheek.
What did he do to her, May? Tell him that.
I drink your beer.
Hold it, May. What do you want, bud?
Nothing. Just looking.
Well, we don't allow looking in here. Scram.
Hello, Matt. Ted calling. No, nothing yet. But don't give up, fella. I've only been to about a dozen places. I'll find him. Beer, please.
Right, one beer.
He never should have done it. Using a couple of taxi drivers for shills.
Why not, Mexi?
Because it makes it tough for us. They double the cops in this area. They're watching every minute of the day. For him, yeah. But meantime, it makes it tough on us.
Oh, never thought of that.
Well, I did. Ask Millie here about him. She was there when it happened.
Right in the place? No kidding?
That's right. Right in the place when he walked in. The bar on East 7th.
Did he take you for anything?
About $20 out of my bag. And a ring that Maxie gave me, worth $80.
No kidding.
Sure. And he didn't have to do that with the drivers. I tell you, I'd like to make it hot for that wise guy. I'd like to sing a little tune.
Hey, shut up. You won't sing no tune for anybody. Can't you see there's people around?
Hi. I'm interested in what you said there, Millie.
I don't know you. I didn't say a word.
Beat it.
Look, if you want to make a little money?
I said to beat it.
Okay. Okay. Only if you change your mind, my name is Ted Prager. There's people around who can tell you where to find me.
You don't exist. Well, boys, like I always say, another day, another $8,000.
Oh, Joey, you're really in there.
Yeah. We've been quiet now a month. I think it's time we stop being quiet.
I even hear people stop talking about me. A job I pulled with the taxi drivers. So?
What's a caper, Joey?
You like this one, Moose? You like this special because this one is more my style. Listen.
Prager speaking.
Ted, this is Benson on the city desk. Can you get down to East Side Hall?
Sure, what's up?
Just got word for about a big holdup. Some girl was being confirmed, big party and all that. Three men did the job.
Who can I see?
You can see the girl herself. She was only a kid, too. 14.
Right. Give me the address. I'm on my way.
Prager, and they just took everything.
I see. What did the leader of the gang look like?
He was terrible. He had his hair all smoothed down and oily, and a smile on his face.
Uh-huh. Did he laugh out loud, I mean?
Yes, sir. Especially when he came after me.
What'd he do to you?
Well, I had my ring. My father just gave it to me for my confirmation. It was a ring with diamonds, Mr. Prager, so I... Well, to keep him from getting it, I put it in my mouth.
Yes?
Well, he came up to me with that smile on his face, and he put his thumb on one side of my cheek and his fingers on the other. And,
why, that?
And he squeezed until I couldn't stand it anymore.
He's back. So he's back on the job. Don't you worry. I'll find that man.
You can't park that car here, mister.
Matt.
Oh, it's you.
I've been driving around looking for you. Can you get in?
What for?
He's back at it again, the guy we're looking for. He's around town. Can you come with me?
Well, yeah, I'm off duty, but what for?
Because I'm going hunting for him. That patent leather hair and the smile. I want company. Hop in.
Now we've been driving around 3 hours. Where do you expect to find this crook? Just standing on a corner?
Maybe. You never can tell. He might... Matt...
What's the matter?
Right there.
Where?
On the corner. Wouldn't he be right on the corner of Essex and Hester in broad daylight?
That one?
The one talking to the girl as if he didn't have a care in the world.
You mean it, Ted?
Take him, Matt. Yours.
Oh, brother, will I take him? Ted, I just saw Mr. Dennis.
The prosecuting attorney?
Yep. He says he needs a positive witness.
Our friend denies everything?
Of course. Never was in the 7th Street bar. Never held up anybody. Used taxi drivers as shields. What, him? Joey Rice do a thing like that?
Oh, so that's his name, Joey Rice.
Slick as they come. Smooth. It'll be tough to pin it on him.
Okay, Matt. I'll go in and see Mr. Dennis.
Oh, no, you can't identify Rice.
Why not?
Because it would finish you as a police reporter, cut off all your contacts. And that's not all it might cut off.
I'll take a chance.
No, Ted, don't.
I'll tell you what I'll do. Get Rice before me on a one-way screen. I'll identify him. Then let Mr. Dennis prepare his case. If he needs me in court, I'll testify.
Now you're talking sense.
So are you, Matt.
All right, Rice. That way. Walk that way.
What is this?
Just a little matter of identification, Rice. As prosecuting attorney, I thought it might be a good idea to identify you. Get over to those chalk marks now and just stand still. Light on him okay for you, Mr. Prager?
That's fine, Mr. Dennis.
Well?
That's the man held up the 7th Street bar.
You sure?
Yes, Mr. Dennis. I'm absolutely sure.
Okay, Sergeant, take him away. Thanks for the identification. I needed that. Next time you see him, he'll be in court. On trial for robbery and criminal assault.
Look at him. Look at Joe Rice smiling, Matt.
Yeah, but what are we gonna do?
I don't know. Maybe Mr. Dennis has an idea.
He looks plenty worried.
Oh, here comes the judge.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Judge Bernard Smith presiding. Court is in session.
There goes Dennis.
Your Honor.
Mr. Dennis, yes?
Your Honor, as prosecuting attorney, I must protest the appearance of the defendant. If it please the court, it is obvious that the reason the defendant, Joseph Rice, came into this courtroom today wearing a full beard is to make absolute identification of himself impossible. Your Honor, we allege the defendant committed the crimes he's charged with a clean-shaven face. And consequently, he must, in the interest of justice and equity, be ordered to shave off the beard he has grown, which is a patent dodge and a ruse.
Your Honor! Your Honor!
The attorney for the defendant.
Your Honor, my client, Joseph Rice, likes to wear a beard. He thinks a beard becomes him. And I say that every man has the constitutional right, if not the God-given right, to shave or not to shave, to wear a beard or not to wear a beard.
Order, please, order. This is a very complicated question, gentlemen. We'll have to rule on that. Court is adjourned.
Been decided before. Could go against us and we'd be licked before we start.
He can't be ordered to shave, Mr. Dennis.
It's never been decided before, Prager.
What are we gonna do, sir?
I wish I had an idea, Gaines.
Mr. Prager.
Millie.
Can I talk to you a minute?
Why, sure.
Mister, I seen what happened, what he pulled. I'd like to get up on that stand.
You would, Millie?
It'd be a pleasure, mister.
Can you positively identify Joey, even with his beard, as the man who held up the 7th Street bar?
I could do it if he was standing upside down.
Okay, Millie. The prosecuting attorney's right over there, but, what changed your mind?
That little trick he pulled on the girl being confirmed, remember?
Sure, I remember.
That little girl is my kid cousin.
And she testifies that beard or no beard, it was Joey Rice who held up that bar. You look over at Patrolman Matt Gaines as the trial winds up, and for the first time in months, the man's smiling. He's a human being again, and you've got your big story. Yes, but nobody knows it. Nobody knows it until now, this very night, on a radio program called The Big Story. Not until now can you say, well, this is the job I did. This is the role I played. Ted Prager, night reporter of the New York Daily News.
We read you that telegram from Ted Prager of the New York Daily News.
Hold-up man in tonight's big story was quickly convicted by jury. But while awaiting sentence, he became violent and was officially declared to be insane. He was therefore transferred to the asylum at Matawan, where he is still confined.
The Big Story is produced by Bernard J. Proctor and directed by Harry Ingram, with music by Vladimir Selinsky. Tonight's program was written by Arnold Pearl. Your narrator was Bob Sloan, and William Quinn played the part of Ted Prager. All names in tonight's story, except that of Mr. Prager, were fictitious, but the dramatization was based on a true and authentic case.
All right, hope you enjoyed The Big Story. Manhunt in Manhattan, and the narrator was Robert Sloan on that. From January 7th, 1948, The Big Story. More coming your way here on the WGN Radio Theater, so stick around. All right, Lisa, hey, you know what? I'm going to L.A. in a couple weeks.
I heard
about
that.
But I'm traveling during the week, so I don't miss
back on the weekend.
The WGN Radio Theater, the most important part of my week.
Yeah, I try to travel on the weekends so I can be back during the week.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh.
Is there anyone you want me to, you know, go knock on their door? Like, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio or anybody that you want me to...
Oh, I'm sure you've got it
Josh
covered.
Duhamel or something like that.
Oh, that's your fantasy, not mine.
My fantasy. We're talking about... Just because I think he's a great actor, I like him.
He is a great actor.
We may make him an offer for something I'm working
on. Well, I met him...
Not literally.
Like I met him figuratively when he
you
was
rode
on,
a bus that 3 weeks later he rode.
Something like that. he was on All My Children.
Uh-huh.
That's where I,
that's
I
a soap
first
opera,
fell in love
right?
with him.
It's a soap opera.
Yes.
Actually, he's perfect for the part of something I'm working on,
okay.
a TV project.
All right. Well, when you hire him. And
then you'll get to know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see.
I'll tell you which trailer is his, right?
Okay, great. You're
like, hey, Lisa, there's Josh Duhamel's
trailer.
Well,
I will knock on his door. There should be a song about that. Isn't there a song?
Knock three times on Josh Duhamel's trailer.
Exactly. That's just the one I was thinking
of. Speaking
of
singing, where did our duet go? Is that up anywhere, our duet?
I think we're going to post it on Facebook. I just... don't have it.
Lisa and I sang a duet yesterday.
Yeah, maybe it's better off in like the
it'll
clouds
be up Monday
somewhere. Yeah,
Shante said it's be
you
up.
Know what, I think it's better off just flying with the clouds.
Why? You sounded great on it.
Yeah,
I'm
let,
the one
let
that
it
sounds
stay in
terrible
the clouds.
On it. So when we come back here next week, you're not going to be here.
I'll
April
be here
1st.
On Sunday.
Yeah, but you're not here on Saturday.
But on Saturday we have our Miss Brooks, Box 13, and Crime Classics.
Right. And then on Sunday, we have...
Well, I wouldn't miss a Jack Benny program, so
right.
We're going to play some Jack Benny. Broadway is My Beat and Dimension X.
Okay. And then tomorrow, you're going to call Spin, right?
Oh, that was a secret.
No.
Oh, it's not?
You're going to call Spin.
All right. So that's the secret. We're going to try to do a meet and greet at Spin.
We'll see
in
if
a
we
couple
can
of weeks,
work something
if we
out
can
with
do,
them.
A little something, and we can meet our listeners and have some fun and play ping pong and have some food and see
yeah.
if we can celebrate together.
Yeah, and I'm going to invite Bill, you know.
We're going to invite everybody.
Yeah, I know,
WGN.
But I want to invite Bill Leff because I want to play him at ping pong.
All right, well, when we've got the date and everything's down, we will invite not only Bill, but we'll invite everybody.
If we can't work it out...
then we'll do it in your house. Then we'll all meet at Carl's house.
No, we'll meet at Lisa's house.
No.
Yeah.
We'll meet outside on the sidewalk.
No, we might meet in front of WGN. We'll just be shaking everybody's hand.
Who's
taking
everybody?
Pictures. All of our listeners. Well, that'll be fun. We're working on it. We'll be back here next week. Lisa will not be.
I will be back next week, just not Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You're not being clear.
I think you should do a, what do you call it?
A remote?
A FaceTime? What is that called?
Skype?
Skype.
Okay.
Do a FaceTime Skype with your daughter.
FaceTime Skype.
And
oh,
then,
I thought you were going to say with you guys.
You could call in.
I'll call in. But if she sees my number, Shante probably won't answer the phone.
You call in. That'll be fun.
I'll call in.
And what plays are you seeing this week? Any plays?
Well, the big play this week, well, there's a show at Northlight that just opened up that I missed because it was my daughter's birthday on Friday night. So I'm going to it, matinee on Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it's called By the Water.
Uh-huh.
And the big show this week is a Broadway and Chicago show. It's Rain, you know, the Beatles.
Oh, wow.
Homage.
I would like to see that. Broadway and Chicago. Mm. Why don't you invite me to that?
Yeah. All right, so
you can invite me because, right, I would like to see that.
I actually saw that.
The Beatles.
I actually saw that. Yeah, the Beatles are going to be at Broadway in Chicago.
I'd like to see the Beatles.
I actually saw that show once a couple years back when they had them here. It's a great show.
Oh, man. Broadway in Chicago puts on terrific
presentations.
They do.
That's a particularly great show.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks to all of our listeners for staying up late with us. Make sure you check us out on Facebook at WGN Radio Theater. Thanks to you, Lisa Wolf. Thanks to Mike Estella. Of course, Shantae Garth, our producer. Roger Badish, Esmeralda Leon. And my crabby brother, Vince Amari. I want to thank him, too.